Our epistle for this 12th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Brethren, such is the assurance I have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. He also it is who has made us fit ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministration of death, which was engraved in letters upon stones, was inaugurated in such glory that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly upon the face of Moses on account of the transient glory that shone upon it, shall not the ministration of the Spirit be still more glorious? For if there is glory in the ministration that condemned, much more does the ministration that justifies abound in glory. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 23 to 37. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and have not seen it, or to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer got up to test him, saying, 'Master, what must I do to gain eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How dost thou read?' He answered and said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole strength, and with thy whole mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. Do this, and thou shalt live.' But he, wishing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus answered, 'A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in with robbers, who after both stripping him and beating him went their way, leaving him half dead. But, as it happened, a certain priest was going down the same way, and when he saw him, he passed by. And likewise a Levite also, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came upon him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And he went up to him and bound up his wounds with pouring on oil and wine. And setting him on his own beast, he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And whatever more thou spendest, I on my way back will repay thee.' Which of these three, in thy opinion, proved himself neighbor to him that fell among the robbers?" And he said, "He who took pity on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go, and do thou also in like manner." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, when meditating on the gospel for this Sunday that's presented to us, I couldn't but help think of that incident in Scripture found in St. John's Gospel about the man born blind. His livelihood was sitting there on the temple steps begging. He was well known. But when our Lord came into the picture, the man received something he had never had before. Sight. Quite amazing. Never to have seen, and then in one moment, to have your sight back. And if you read the account and you study it a little closely, you find that the enemies of Christ start attacking Christ, the man born blind, and even his family. If you take a look at the things that are taking place at this time, especially between Christ and the scribes and Pharisees, there's a heightened tension. The Pharisees and scribes, the rulers at the time, they wanted things a certain way, and they didn't like what Christ was saying. And so they were doing everything in their power to make Christ lose face. They were trying to put Christ in a hard way, trying to trip up Christ with his own words. If you take a look, this time, this is when the woman caught in adultery was brought to our Lord, and they asked her if they should stone her according to the law of Moses. Christ wrote on the ground and then told them, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." This is when they asked him about paying tribute. Is it lawful to pay taxes? Christ makes answer, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's." Well, then the man born blind, and so they try to discredit the whole thing. They question the man. The man says, "I don't know. This guy's a sinner. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is that I couldn't see, or I was blind and now I see." They go to the parents, playing the political game and trying to get the parents to dismiss the fact that the son was born blind. And parents, they knew the law enough that they said, "Hey, he's of legal age. Go ask him. Leave us out of it." They didn't want to be banished. They come back to the man born blind and ask him again, and he's getting a little tired of all this questioning. And he says, "I've already told you. If I tell you again, will you become his follower?" They didn't like that very much. So they kicked him out of the temple, banished him. And he goes to our Lord to thank our Lord. And our Lord asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man born blind said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" And our Lord answers and says, "It is he who speaks to you. It is he who you see." And falling down, he worships him. Pharisees come into the picture. They were frustrated by the man born blind. They were frustrated by his parents and by all the people who were singing Christ's praises. So they decided to go and argue with Christ. "What's your story? You can give sight to the blind?" And the Lord says, "I came to give sight to those who cannot see and to take away sight from those who can." And the Pharisees answer Christ and says, "What you're saying, we who are just are blind?" And Christ says this powerful statement, and something that I think is important for us to pay attention to. "You say you see, so your sin remains." They knew exactly what Christ was talking about when he says, "I came to give sight to those who cannot see, to take away sight from those who can." He was also indicating or pointing to their hypocrisy. In a few moments, we're going to pray the Nicene Creed at Mass. "I believe." We're going to say what we believe. We're going to say we see. And it's important to us to check our belief. Actions speak louder than words, but we say we see. If we say we see and we don't follow it by how we are or how we live, then yes, we are guilty of sin. And our sin remains. In today's gospel, when Christ tells his disciples that they are blessed because of what they can see and what they hear, he tells his disciples that they are blessed because of the same thing that we see and we hear. We hear his words. And with the eyes of faith, we can see him in the Blessed Sacrament. With the eyes of faith, we can comprehend and understand that we can be forgiven by Christ in the great institution of confession, and understand how many times we have been worthy of the very depths of hell, but been forgiven by His goodness and His love and His grace. But it's important for us, I think, to seek or search our hearts and to ask ourselves if really, truly we see and really, truly we hear. I've heard it said from many people who come to me, perhaps counseling or other things, I have a problem praying. I can't hear Christ. I can't hear God. Well, how do you expect to hear God speak to you when you don't make any effort to read what He has already presents, what He already presents to you in Scripture? How often do we open up Scripture and read it? Daily? Or is it once a week when you hear it in church, if you come to church? Or do we just kind of hear it when we hear it? Have ears but do not hear, eyes but do not see. There are many different tools and ways to teach, different methods. One of my favorite methods of teaching is called the Socratic method from Socrates. Christ uses it a lot in the Scriptures, and I believe He still uses it. And the Socratic method is about making us come to the answer by using our higher faculties of intellect, by asking the right questions. Look at how he treats the lawyer. What must I do to have eternal life? That's a good question. That's a question that should be important for all of us. Was the lawyer asking with sincerity? He was a lawyer. And we know that the enemies of Christ were trying to trap him at the time. But Christ makes him come up with the answer. What is written? How do you read it? And the lawyer points to the two top laws, the two great commandments, the commandment of love of God and love of neighbor. Or as some would say, love of God and the proper love of self. Because doesn't it say, love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God? The same two commandments that Christ, when he pointed to, says, upon these two commandments are based the whole law and the prophets. If you can't plug it into these two commandments, then you better stop doing what you're doing or change how you're doing it. It's based upon these two. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. So he's asking this lawyer, and the lawyer answers, and the lawyer says, or in Christ says, thou hast answered correctly, do this, and thou shalt have life. But the lawyer wants to go a step further and asks, and who is my neighbor? Christ relates the story that we read of the Good Samaritan, and then asks him a question, which of these three, in thy opinion, prove neighborly? And the lawyer says, well, he that took mercy or took pity on him. And Christ says, now go and do thou in like manner. Making him come up with questions, making him come up with the answers to his own questions. And many of our questions are already answers. We just have to seek the answers and then apply. Oftentimes we read Scripture and we don't take it personally. No, these questions that Christ asked the lawyer, he asks you and he asks me. I keep thinking of when Judas and the band comes into the garden and Christ asks them a question, whom do you seek? We should think of that every time we walk into church. Whom do you seek? They sought our Lord to misuse, abuse, capture, torture, and kill. Whom do you seek and why? One last thought. saw this young lady wearing this shirt. And it said, "You only live once." And then on the back of the shirt says, "Party." Some people might say, "Oh, well, that's light and a joke." Now think about it for a moment. You only live once. You only have one time through this test called life. And you either pass or you fail. You either make good use of the opportunities you have, or you become a victim of the world, and a victim of the prince of the world, which is the devil, and a victim of self, selfishness. And the end is not Christ. Party? No, I wasn't judging the young lady for wearing the shirt, but it just caught me, and I had to think about that. You live only once. What a profound thought. But how many times do we can put something like that and then not even think about it? One day I am going to die, and one day I'm going to stand before God. And that day could be today. And when I go stand before Him, I am going to have to make answer to His question. And we will be forced to give truthful answer. What's the question? Do you love me? What does He say in Scripture about this? If you love me, keep my commandments. Let us beg the good Lord during Holy Mass today to lift all of our blindness and all of our deafness spiritually with the eyes of faith, that we can see what we really have, appreciate it, make good use of it, and prove that we appreciate it by being willing instruments of Christ towards our neighbor in this world that's full of hate, uncharity, and sin. Let us reiterate our goal and our want to truly deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him without reservation and without excuse, but because simply we want to love Him with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with our whole soul, with all our strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.